Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about learning how to deal with regret as part of a larger discussion we're having of how to learn, how to deal with our emotions, how to get our emotions under the control of the Word of God so that they don't drive us to do something ungodly, or so that we don't get overwhelmed by the negative emotions. Now, if you've been with us the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about dealing with sorrow. And regret is another form of sorrow. Sorrow or grief is an emotion that we feel when we've lost someone or something, when we've lost someone dear to us or something important to us. And for a couple of weeks, we talked specifically about how dealing to that, or about dealing with that. Well, in addition to grief over loss, we've all experienced sorrow over choices we've made. When choices produce, these choices can range from just poor choices where we knew going in, I shouldn't do this, but we did it anyway, and it turned out badly. Or it can be decisions that we really thought were good decisions, but they didn't turn out as we'd hoped, so we experienced the disappointment along with, I shouldn't have made this decision, I shouldn't have done this. And then, these choices can range all the way up to actual outright sin, where we make sinful choices and reap the whirlwind from that. This kind of sorrow is called regret and or guilt. Now, this week we're specifically going to focus on regret due to non-sinful choices and decisions, where we either made a bad decision, not sinful, but just bad decision, or we made what we thought was a good decision and it didn't turn out like we thought. Now, next week, we'll get into if you've made a sinful decision. But let's just jump right into it. We're going to look at something that happened to David because it's a real good example of dealing effectively with the hurt and pain that comes from making a decision that results in negative consequences that you can't change. All of us have done it. We've made a decision that set in motion a series of events that produced consequences that were not good, and we couldn't undo it, and we feel regret. How do you deal with that? Well, we looked yesterday, we began to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. The prophet David, under the direction of the Lord, anointed David. I'm sorry, I think I said the prophet David. It's the prophet Samuel. The prophet Samuel, under the direction of the Lord, anointed David to be king of Israel while Saul, the reigning king, was still alive. Now, David was supportive of and loyal to Saul, even though this anointing had taken place. But Saul became extremely jealous of David and set out to kill him. And as you know, David was forced to flee for his life and was actually hunted for many years. Now, at one point during his ordeal, David went to live for a time in Philistine territory. Now, David had 600 men with him who were his supporters. They went into hiding with him, and they brought along their women and children. So it was a large group with him. Even though the Philistines were Israel's enemies, King Achish eventually gave David and his band of followers and their wives and children the town of Ziklag for a home, a little town in Philistine territory. It was given to David and his men, and they lived there for over a year. Now, how and why that happened, that's a whole can of worms for another day. But here's what we need to address. While David and his men were away from Ziklag on a mission, a local tribe raided the city, burned it down, and carried off all the women and children, including David's own wives. Now, this circumstance stirred numerous emotions in everyone. First, they experienced grief over their loss. Now, not only had they lost homes and possessions because it had all been burned to the ground, there were no bodies there, so they knew their families had been carried off. That wasn't unusual in those days. Families of conquered cities would be taken off to slavery or sold into slavery. So David and his men, they don't know if they'll ever see their families anymore. Let me just read a few verses. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3. They've been away, now they're back. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were also taken captive. It said these guys wept until they had no more power to weep. That was their first emotional reaction. The New Living Bible here says they wept until they could weep no more. If you've lost someone dear to you, I know you can appreciate that. But as we keep reading here, we find that their initial grief morphed into bitterness. Let me go on. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Now it says the soul of all the people was grieved. That word grieve there in the original language is actually bitterness. The Amplified says it that way. The people were bitterly grieved. Now bitterness is an expression of severe, hard to bear pain, grief, or regret. And bitterness often expresses itself in anger. In fact, Berkeley's translation here says, all the people were in an ugly mood. They began to speak of stoning or killing David. Their grief that had turned into bitterness was driving them to get revenge for their loss. Perhaps you can relate to that. Revenge is payback. Emotions sometimes compel us to blame someone or something for our losses. We think then that if we can get revenge, we'll feel better and the situation will somehow be helped. Like I say, perhaps some of you can relate to that. That's actually a pretty normal reaction to severe loss. But if we were to continue to read this account here, actually what happens here is a big argument for learning to control our emotions and keep them from driving us to act irrationally and sinfully. See, if they'd have killed David, they would have been killing an innocent man, and we'll elaborate in just a minute. What happened was not his fault. It wasn't his fault this happened, but they're going to kill him to get payback for the pain of their loss. If they'd have let their grief turn to bitterness, drive them to get revenge by killing him, they would have not only acted sinfully, they would have acted irrationally and to their own hurt. Because if we keep reading here, David sought God and God told him what to do, and they got all their family back. They would have killed the very source of help in the situation. It's so important that we learn not to be driven by our emotions. Had these guys killed David, they would have killed an innocent man. What happened at Ziklag wasn't David's fault. It was the product of life in a sin-cursed earth where wicked men rob and kill other men. That's life in a sin-cursed earth. Evil happens in this sin-cursed earth. And many times that's the explanation. We want more. We want somebody we can pay back so we'll feel better. It just doesn't work like that. Killing David would not have solved anything. It would have made their situation worse because, as I said, David would later get direction from God that ended in them recovering their lost families. Now, there's a lot going on here. These men are experiencing a jumble of emotions, as is often the case in the face of severe loss. On top of the pain of their losses, they're angry. They're angry. Anger, if you know anything about grief, a grief counselor will tell you there are steps to grieving. And one of those steps is anger. It's natural to feel anger. If you've lost somebody dear to you, sometimes you get mad at them. It's like, why did you leave me? You should have fought harder to stay alive. Maybe you can't relate to that, but I'm sure some of you can relate to that. So these guys get mad. Not only at David, they're mad at him to the point where they're talking about killing him, but no doubt they were angry possibly at themselves. They were possibly struggling with the if-onlys. Can you relate to the if-onlys? If only we hadn't have gone with David to Philistine country, this wouldn't have happened. If only we had stayed in Ziklag instead of going on that expedition, this wouldn't have happened. If only we had come back from our mission a day earlier, so on and so forth. You've played the if-onlys. We've all done it. All of these are expressions of guilt and regret. Friends, if only is oftentimes an accusation against yourself. This is somehow our fault, and we should have, we ought to have. Why didn't we do something different? But see, despite what their emotions were telling them in the moment, what happened at Ziklag was not their fault. Even though they had made the choice to follow David, yes, it was their choice to follow David, but they had made the best decision they could based on the facts available to them in their situation. I mean, think about it. Samuel, an established prophet of God, had anointed David in the name of the Lord. He was the rightful king, and he's going to take the throne as soon as Saul dies. Following him, that's a good thing. Saul actually had been a poor king. So to follow David while Saul was alive, that makes sense too. David and his men had no way of knowing that the Amalekites were going to attack Ziklag while they were gone. It wasn't their fault, but yet they're struggling with if-onlys. It was natural for them to feel regret about the situation. When we make a decision that doesn't turn out as we hoped, it's easy to get caught up in the if-only I had done this, or if only I hadn't done that. You got to stop that game. Even if David and his men should have done something differently, even if they should have, like leave some men to guard the city, what's done is done. They can't undo it. They can only deal with the situation as it is, not as it should have been. See, when you're facing a decision that didn't turn out right, that you regret, you need to stop fixating on what can't be undone. And learn to deal with the situation as it is, not as it should have been. Fixating on the if-onlys does nothing positive. Instead, it feeds the emotions of regret, guilt, and sorrow. If you don't feed those feelings, they'll eventually subside. Emotions fade when nothing stimulates them, and it's easier to hear from God. More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.